3 a.m. Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington and at the Vatican. Now underway at St. Peter's Square, Pope Francis,
in nomine Patris et Filii, et
presiding over the Requiem Mass for his predecessor, the German-born Pope Pax Benedict XVI. Benedict resigned the papacy a decade ago, the first pope to do that in some 600 years. Back here, yes, the recent weather is helping California quite a bit with its historic low on drought, but at big cost. Yet another atmospheric river overhead, dropping a lot of water from L.A. to Oregon. Weather Channel forecaster Chris Warren.
The big storm system is one in a series of systems that will bring very heavy rain, flooding rain, possibly landslides, mudslides, rock slides, and some very strong winds. The amount of rain, this is significant, from Southern California to Northern California and Southern Oregon could be up to a foot of rainfall. That's going to cause some serious issues.
It already has. Some 180,000 customers were reported without power around San Francisco. Schools there are closed. The U.S. House remaining at standstill as it failed to elect a speaker for the sixth time. That is the first thing that the House must do before it can do anything else. Correspondent Scott McFarland.
A marathon set of votes and then an evening full of backroom negotiations didn't break this logjam that has paralyzed the U.S. House of Representatives. Until they choose a speaker, there really is no sitting member of the U.S. House. None of them has been sworn in. They can't create committees or issue legislation and might have trouble dealing with constituent calls for passport help or Social Security checks.
3 years into the coronavirus pandemic, COVID-19 is blamed for more than 1,092,000 lives here in the count by Johns Hopkins. Now there is a new COVID variant. It is called XBB 1.5. It accounts for more than 40% of the cases in the U.S.
The infectiousness of this new variant means that it will continue to spread, and that's something that we all need to be aware of.
CBS News medical contributor Dr. David Agus. There is a lot we don't know yet, including motive, but 8 people are dead of gunshot wounds in southern Utah, among them 5 children found as police did a welfare check at a residence about 245 miles south of Salt Lake City. Enoch City manager Bob Dotson.
Upon entering the home, the officers found 8 individuals, 3 adults, and 5 minors who had received gunshots and were deceased.
Brian Kohlberger, the criminology student charged in the November slayings of 4 University of Idaho students, has been extradited back there from Pennsylvania by state police. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Hump Day equals Hump Day. Greg Bock Day.
It is. It is. Yeesh. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes. You've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Learn more at She Can STEM. A message brought to you by the Ad Council.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK.
Is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the second hour of our program. So yesterday was the 14th birthday of Bitcoin, the very first of the cryptocurrencies. It was first mined on January 3rd, 2009 by Satoshi Nakamoto. He created the Bitcoin, the first Bitcoin block on that date. Some of the early real-world transactions, the main one, the first one that occurred was in 2010, when a fellow by the name of Laszlo Hanziak purchased two pizzas for 10,000 Bitcoin. That would be $167 million in today's Bitcoin money. But, you know, you find the Bitcoin community celebrating this on Twitter on May 22nd. They call it Bitcoin Pizza Day. The Bitcoin reached a $1 value in February of 2011. In 2013, it crossed $1,000 per token, and the all-time high was last year at $69,000. El Salvador and the Central African Republic have both made Bitcoin official currency. And some months ago, maybe half a year ago or so, Professor Richard Wolff and I had a conversation about Bitcoin on this program, and we were both broadly, I think, of the opinion that it was A, a bubble, and B, a commodity and not a currency, if I'm saying that right. But let's check back with him and see what his thoughts are on what is the future of Bitcoin? Is there a role for alternative money? And also, what is money? Professor Richard Wolff is the economist, co-founder of democracyatwork.info, the author of numerous books, including his most recent, The Sickness Is the System, When Capitalism Fails to Save Us from Pandemics or Itself, also available now as an ebook. And he hosts The Economic Update with Professor Richard Wolff, right here on Free Speech TV. Professor Wolff, welcome back to the program. I'm wondering if you could just, you know, share with us your thoughts on Bitcoin. I mean, exactly what you were predicting seems to have come to pass with the great crash of Bitcoin.
I don't much believe in prediction, so I'm not going to dwell on that or pat myself or even you on the back. It didn't take a great deal of insight to understand that the conditions making for these kinds of cryptocurrencies are the conditions that will make it extremely volatile, extremely risky. I would only assert for the people listening and watching your program not to get drawn in unless they really understand the enormity of the risk they're taking. Bitcoin's value has collapsed in double-digit percentages. It's a very wobbly item. The story you mentioned and many others are full of predictions for the next year, which run the gamut from making much more money than it did in the past to making even less money than it did in the past and everything in between. Here's what I think is going on. In capitalism as a system, every kind of business that has ever been invented has been sooner or later abusively manipulated, whether it's banks or farming or manufacture or services. That's why we're full of commissions in the United States. Once upon a time, you could run a taxi service, but then there were crooks who abused it and didn't use safe vehicles and didn't insure what they did. And so we have a commission in virtually every city governing the taxis. And the commission works it out so it's safe by having a price that covers the costs of safety. And what happens sooner or later is a couple of hustlers come in and try to substitute, without the commission, a similar product. These days we call them Lyft and Uber. They come in, run a taxi service, in effect, without the rules, make a lot of money, then a lot of bad things happen, and now they have to be regulated. Money is no different. Money is something that we used to, when we first started as a nation, let banks do. But they were crooked in many cases. You couldn't rely on the money. You couldn't be sure who issued it or who would honor it if you tried to cash it in. So we had the government come in, either with a commission or the Bank of the United States, eventually now the Federal Reserve, the controller of the currency, in order to make it reliable. Money will always generate people who try to get around the rules, make a lot of money for a short while, and then teach us why we put rules in effect in the first place. And now, guess what? Federal Reserve, central banks around the world are getting in on fiat, on this kind of money. Cryptocurrencies are being issued by central banks. They're going to control it. They're going to limit it. And given the volatility and how many people lost money, you're building the public support for exactly that kind of control. But I guess there will always be people who want to get around it, come up with some novel technology to do that, promise us the world of freedom from control, and then demonstrate to us why we've always gone back to that control, because the so-called freedom from it is too costly for too many of us.
That's a brilliant analysis, which raises the question, is Bitcoin a currency or a commodity? I mean, it seems to me like it's more of a commodity than outside of El Salvador and this Central African Republic. How do we define these two things? I suppose you could, you know, make the same argument about gold.
Exactly. I was about to say, what you're doing by your question, Tom, is actually recapitulating the history of what we're talking about. Money initially was a commodity. That's why it was gold and silver. It was indeed a commodity that had other uses besides being money. Gold was a process in manufacturing. Gold was a kind of jewelry. Silver, same thing, and yet other silver used to be important in processing photo activities and so forth. So the line between commodity and money is a very subjective question of historical moment. At a point, it's a commodity. At another point, it's money. And at another point, it's both of those things, trying to navigate the passage from one to the other. Even to this day, gold is mined not only because it's a monetary item, but also because in parts of the world, it's a very important commodity in the jewelry business, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we're always struggling to get a boundary, sort of, between commodity and money. But because money is so important and we're so worried about it being abused in one way or another, because it always has been, we want to have a backup, something we can be more sure about than the money, and particularly these days, the money is represented by a piece of paper, so we want something solid behind it. Gold, silver, or some other commodity has to play that kind of role. So I don't think we'll ever escape from that ambiguity, and as long as we have capitalism, we're not going to escape from the endless process of controlling, managing, having the government come in, then trying to escape, then discovering we can't. After a certain point, we kind of ought to ask ourselves the question, is there something wrong with the system that puts us in this repetitive cycle over and over again, especially when gullible people can lose their entire life savings somewhere in the process?
Right, which also brings up the question, how can a commodity exist without existence? I mean, gold you can hold in your hand, right? You can buy, you know, shares of gold electronically and things like that. But by and large, there's always gold at the end of the, you know, even the people who are selling ETFs for gold, you know, exchange traded funds for gold, are, you know, they've got gold in their basement, basically. And they're saying, you're buying a piece of this gold. With Bitcoin, what you're buying are zeros and ones. It's it is an intangible tangible. And yet it can be converted into real things in the real world. How, you know, what are your thoughts on that and on the safety of that and on the future of that?
Well, let me push back a little bit. I don't think there's anywhere near as big a difference as most people do. Mm-hmm. In the end, yeah, it's a matter of faith. Do you believe in the piece of paper that says Federal Reserve note on it, like our currency does here in this country? Do you believe the Bitcoin receipt you have when you invested there? But it's not that different from what's the value of gold. It has to do with people's attitudes. Mm-hmm. If people decide that gold isn't all that beautiful and that something else is more beautiful, the demand for gold will disappear, or at least it'll shrink a great deal, and that will destroy its value. People have been disappointed by the disappearing value of things they could touch and feel and smell and see in their hands almost as much as they have with money. So I think in the end, it's a kind of a reminder lesson that the economy, like so much else in our lives, is not the hard and fast and fixed and under control reality we might wish it to be. It is, in fact, very conditional on the politics, the ideology, the history, the culture we live in, and we maybe ought to pay more attention to that as being what in the end determines value than attaching ourselves to something as if it had a value no matter what.
Brilliant. Professor Richard Wolff, I so appreciate you dropping by. Always learn something from you. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Tom. Thank you.
And check out Professor Wolff's TV program. He's the host of Economic Update with Professor Richard Wolff over on Free Speech TV, freespeech.org on the internet if you want to check it out. We will continue our conversations about, you know, what's going on with the Republicans in the House and others in
this
just a moment.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Also, January 6th, the summary. What did Trump know and when did he lie about it? Well, I'll share that with you on the other side of the break.
Hey, Pack Rat. Yeah, you. Are you moving cross-country and you just don't know who to call? Call us right now. Listen, you've probably seen one of our containers in your neighborhood. But did you know that we can help you move anywhere in the United States? It's real simple. We'll drop a container off at the location you tell us to bring it to. You pack up your valuable possessions at your leisure. They stay safe right in your home. And when you're ready, call us. We'll come and pick up the container and give you a scheduled date of when your furniture and the other possessions will be at your new home. So if you're moving across country or across town, be a Pack Rat. Join the Pack Rat family. Call Pack Rat right now for your free quote. See y'all later, Pack Rats.
800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. That's 800-334-5468.
It is one of the most powerful books you'll ever read, full of the wisdom of ancient cultures and the directed hope of modern thinkers. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman. Discover how we're made of sunlight and what this has to do with the impact of fossil fuels on civilization. Read about the coming new ice age and what must be done soon. Understand how ancient cultures valued community and cooperation and what we can learn from them. Get in touch with the secret of enough, the meaning of wealth, and the wealth of security. The last hours of ancient sunlight helps us understand and heal our relationship to the world, to each other, and to our natural resources. We have much to learn and even more to remember. Here is your guide, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
The American middle class is on its deathbed. Ordinary folks who put in a solid day's work can no longer afford to buy a house, send their kids to college, or even get sick. If you're not a CEO, you're probably screwed. In his latest book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It by Tom Hartman, Air America host Tom Hartman shows how the middle class, a product of democracy that was so carefully put together by our country's founding fathers, has been systematically dismantled over the past quarter century and, under the guise of freeing the market, replaced by an anti-democratic system designed to line the pockets of the super rich and corporations. Hartman shows that it's not too late to return to the America our founders envisioned. Democracy requires a fair playing field. It will survive only if we the people stand up, speak out, and reclaim our democracy. To find out more about Tom's book tour, or to get an audio sneak peek of Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It, visit TomHartman.com. Get Screwed by Tom Hartman. Available in all fine bookstores now.
Hey, Tom Hartman here. In my new book, Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture, I'm looking at the deteriorating state of our planet, where the dynamics of environmental, economic, and population change are boiling over the limits within which society can function. I'll be busting the myths and ideologies of religious fundamentalism, capitalism run amok, male domination and hierarchy, and militarism that are draining our world of its natural and human resources and engendering the suffering of millions for the benefit of a few. Threshold examines cultures that have thrived from the mother city of Corral, Peru to modern Denmark, and targets five areas of policy, national, religious, economic, corporate, and environmental, for specific and immediate reform. Radical in scope and boldness, but simple in its common sense logic, my book Threshold illustrates the mistakes we have made as a culture, as a country, and as individuals, and provides the inspiration and motivation that you're looking for to build a better, more sustainable world for all. It's available in fine bookstores everywhere. Threshold.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com.
If you choose to believe Google, then all you need to do to surf the internet privately is turn on incognito mode in your browser. And we're supposed to trust big tech with solutions to our online privacy, right? Well, wrong. It doesn't matter what browser mode you use or how often you clear your browser history, your internet service provider can still see every single website you've ever visited, and they can even sell your data to advertisers. And that's why for over a decade, or almost a decade, I have used ExpressVPN to keep my online data secure and private. They do it by rerouting my connection through a secure, encrypted server, so third-party trackers and my internet service provider can't see my online activity and locations. ExpressVPN is also the fastest, most trusted VPN on the market. That's why they're rated the number one VPN by Business Insider. So protect your online activity today with the VPN that I trust to keep me private. Visit expressvpn.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, and you can get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/T-H-O-M, expressvpn.com/Tom to learn more. And welcome back. So January 6th, the facts. One of the things that we have learned as a consequence of the January 6th commission is the depth and breadth of this conspiracy to take down a democracy in the United States and replace it with an autocratic form of government, with one-man rule, with Donald Trump as dictator, and how close we came to that. I mean, it was five or six Republicans in various states, Brad Raffensperger in Georgia. There was a county commissioner, as I recall, it was his position in Michigan, in one of the counties around Detroit. There was a couple of people in Arizona, and the Speaker of the House in Arizona, Rusty Bowers. Just a handful of Republicans who stood up to Donald Trump and prevented him from becoming America's first official dictator, which is pretty breathtaking when you think about it. Timothy Snyder, over the holiday weekend, summarized January 6th, the facts. And I thought it was just a great summary and wanted to share with you, his summary of what we have learned. I think he's done a really good job of this. You can find his stuff, his writings over at Snyder, SNYDER.substack.com. First of all, one of the things that we've learned is that Donald Trump knew well before the November 3rd election that he was going to lose that election. All the polling was showing that. The internal polling was showing that. The Republican Party polling was showing that. And his own campaign polling was showing that he was going to lose. So he knew that he was going to lose, which is why he started saying in public leading up to this is even before the election, that if he lost, it would be because of fraud, that would be the only way he could lose. In other words, he was planning this thing. Now, one of the things Tim Snyder doesn't mention, and that to the best of my knowledge is not in the January 6th report, was that this was the second time he had done this. In 2016, Roger Stone put together a website and trademarked Stop the Steal, and had a website, stopthesteal.com, as I recall. And they were planning, when Hillary Clinton won the election, on claiming that she had won the election by stealing it. And Trump was going to set himself up as president in exile, and it was going to be a whole, great new fundraising scam and et cetera. And they didn't pull the trigger on this thing because Clinton didn't win. So that was number one. Number two, on the election day, now keep in mind, the election wasn't called for several days because all the votes take time to count in many states. But on election day itself, Trump, again, knowing he was going to lose, declared victory, which is just like wrong. I mean, you don't do that, right? Then in November, throughout the month of November, throughout the month of December, and throughout the month of January, and he started laying down, leading up to January 6th, Trump started making specific claims about election fraud. Oh, it was Ruby down in Georgia, and et cetera, like this. When he discovered that his campaign advisors, the people, his campaign officials, even the members of his cabinet knew that he had lost fair and square, he started promoting people like Rudy Giuliani who would lie for him in public. He made several deliberate efforts to overturn the election results and thus American democracy. In states that he lost, he had pressured Republican officials to change the election results and alter the outcome of the election. When Bill Barr and the Department of Justice investigated Trump's claims of fraud, they came back and said there's no evidence whatsoever. So Trump tried to use his power via Jeffrey Clark. He wanted Jeffrey Clark to write letters to state Republican officials saying, looks like you've got fraud in your state. Maybe you shouldn't certify the election. He oversaw an effort to create a slate of fake electors. Then, of course, he tried to get Mike Pence murdered. And, when Pence wouldn't go along with his scheme, when the Capitol was under attack, he actually called for more violence in a tweet halfway through that. And a bunch of Republicans sought pardons.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Those pardons pretty much demonstrating that they knew that what they were doing was a crime. 27 minutes past the hour.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-247-1581.
877-247-1581. 877-247-1581.
By now, you know exactly what a medical alert device is. So let's talk about what we offer. What are the best prices for medical alert devices in the country? If you're on a fixed income, call our special medical alert hotline right now. You'll qualify for free equipment and our best price starting at $1 a day. That's it. You can have your loved one or yourself protected by the largest medical emergency response network in the country. If you need a medical alert system for your mom, your dad, you, or another loved one, call right now and start 24/7 protection for about $1 a day. With no setup fees, equipment charges, or long-term contracts. You've seen the rest. Now call Stay Safe now for our best price. 800-307-0603. 800-307.
The Shaw 101 FM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Vatican funeral services for one pope conducted by another.
Benedetto. Fedele amico.
Pope Francis presiding, remembering the Pope Emeritus, Pope Benedict, who stepped down a decade ago. From Los Angeles north to Oregon, the West Coast is getting another serious drenching from what's called an atmospheric river. It's overhead. And from San Francisco, the Weather Channel's Justin Michaels.
We're going to see several inches of additional rain added on top of what we saw already this year because of that New Year's Eve storm. This is not a good thing, folks, because we have several other atmospheric rivers following in the days to come into next week.
Members of the U.S. House are sleeping on it now, set to return to the Capitol midday, try again to elect a speaker. About 20 Republicans opposed to him have blocked Kevin McCarthy's bid six times.
I think it's probably best let people work through some more.
McCarthy insists he is staying in that fight to the finish. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foote.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
We have a full hour with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Yes, thank you for having me. So glad to be in studio.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
You know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you are a union member or a business owner, picking up your garbage has no partisan lines. Making sure people can get to and from work shouldn't have partisan lines.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And they
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam! Ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Share the Tom Hartman Program with your friends. Our podcast, The Hartman Report, is absolutely free and available wherever fine podcasts are available. And the entire three-hour podcast is available over at TomHartman.com. Welcome back. So just to give you an update on what's going on in the House of Representatives, there was this whole conversation about whether there would be a present vote or whether enough Republicans would vote president that McCarthy could get elected with 212 votes instead of 218, or now he's lost 20. It would be 196 or 198, right? If I'm doing my math right in my head, which I'm very bad at. So, but in any case, it's Kevin McCarthy apparently. Now this is the Hill reporting. So I think that, you know, a skeptical view is not inappropriate. But the Hill just tweeted, and I quote, "Just in, Kevin McCarthy has begun talks with Democrats about a deal to support a consensus candidate for speaker or hold out from voting to ensure he needs to reach a lower threshold." Well, this is interesting. So, you know, first, I mentioned yesterday that I thought that this might be where this ends up. That first he goes to the right wingers and says, "What do you want?" And they say A, B, C, and D. And he says, "Okay, cool. Here you are, A, B, C, and D, and vote for me." And then they vote and they don't vote for him. And he goes back and he says, "What do you, you know, I gave you A, B, C, and D. What else do you want?" They go, "We want E and F." And so he says, "Okay, you can have E and F." And then they have another vote, and they still don't vote for him. And at some point, he's going to say, "Screw these guys. There's 20 people who are obstructing him in his path, and he's given them, you know, the moon." And in fact, there's some speculation that Matt Gaetz has something to do with all this, which is very strange. But, so now Kevin McCarthy goes to the Democrats, and this is where it gets real interesting. You know, McCarthy sits down with Hakeem Jeffries and says, "What do you want? What would it take for you guys?" Now, you don't have to vote. Democrats don't have to vote for McCarthy. All they have to do is not vote, or vote present rather than voting yes or no. And, you know, and it doesn't take a large number of them. It would only take 15 or 20 of them. And so, you know, will that happen? Is Kevin McCarthy going to say, "Listen, I promise that I won't blow up the debt ceiling. I promise I'll be a good boy"? I don't know. I'm very skeptical. So we'll see. We'll see. By the way, there was one present vote. This was Representative Spars, Republican from Indiana. She voted present. She had previously been voting for McCarthy. And the 20th vote was Keith Self from Texas, Republican from Texas. So that's what's going on. And I'll keep you up to date on this as time continues. Right now, the question is, what's McCarthy going to do? He just lost again by 20 votes. And where does he go from here? All right, let's pick up your calls. Nathan in Rice Lake, Wisconsin. Hey, Nathan, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, I just wanted to comment on the difference between money and currency, mm-hmm. Like with Bitcoin. I didn't hear the whole conversation, but the way you can tell if it's actual money is 100 years later, you're still going to be able to spend a gold coin, but you're not going to be able to spend like a Confederate bill at a store. So,
well, the Confederacy no longer exists, but you can't, I defy you to find a store, Nathan, that will accept a gold coin in exchange for anything, unless it's a U.S. currency gold coin. Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
In which case, I mean, but even then, I mean, you know, if you walk in with a gold, a double eagle, that, had, when it was issued, had a value of $1, And you walk into a store and say, you know, this is about a quarter ounce of gold. So, you know, this is worth $400. I'd like to buy $400 worth of clothes. They'll say, I'll give you $1 worth of clothes for it.
They won't even give you that. And people will stand outside of a pawn shop. Yeah, these guys will stand outside of a pawn shop with a 1 ounce gold piece, asking if someone would give them $100 for it. And people look at it and aren't educated about the difference between money and currency in this country. And all currencies eventually go to zero. And there's a guy on YouTube, Mike Maloney. He's a libertarian like I used to be before I discovered IE America 20 years ago, but started listening to you and totally changed my mind on progressive taxation and stuff like that. But he's really good at describing currency versus money, and he goes through the whole history of currency and how they've all failed once they detach from something of value like gold, and that's what the American dollar will do.
They fail when they detach from the country, when the country itself fails. I mean, that's
like Zimbabwe
or the Confederacy. I mean, you know, they Zimbabwe was kind of an exception to all those things. Zimbabwe, you know, Robert Mugabe with his agricultural reforms produced a massive famine that produced a shortage of an essential good. And much like the Arab oil embargo in the 1970s and 73 here in the United States, jacked up the price of gasoline so high that the value of our currency went down. We had inflation. When the price of an essential commodity goes up, relative to that, the currency will deflate. And that's what happened with the Zimbabwe dollar, I think it is that because food became so critical, people were willing to pay anything for food. And so you had this massive inflation, but that, you know, that wasn't, even if the Zimbabwe dollar had been backed by gold, I don't think that would have changed the equation there. And that's the thing. Yeah, I think you can accurately say that when governments go away, their currency goes away. The fiat currency is always backed by the full faith and credit of the government that issues it, period.
Yeah, until it's gone. Yeah.
Right,
so that's
right.
Why the difference between money and currency is money will always maintains, you'll always be able to trade a can of food for it. But the thing with crypto and Bitcoin is the first thing that came along that was crowdsourced in terms of its value.
Right.
The crowd determined how much they would pay for it instead of the Federal Reserve or some central bank. And so Bitcoin's not going to go away as long as the internet's here. You know, if we have some Carrington event or something like that, then everyone loses. But until that happens, Bitcoin.
I think
the main
reason it's going to stick around, Nathan, is because it's increasingly being used for illegal transactions. It's used for human trafficking. It's used for drug trades. It's being used for international weapons trades. And it's less traceable than currencies that have to clear through banks. And a whole lot easier than hauling suitcases full of $100 bills around the world. That's its principal value
banking
right now.
Yeah, but a lot of banking can be like that. But I think if you look at the situation in developing countries where people are unbanked, if they can buy a piece of Bitcoin and trade and use it on their phone, then it allows them to have a medium of exchange that they don't have to carry around like a half a fish.
Yeah, but in a country that is unbanked, it's unlikely you're going to have the average person on their little cell phone, living on $3 a day, buying a $10,000 Bitcoin.
Right. No, you can buy any fraction of Bitcoin you want. It's just a medium of exchange that people are determining the value of. And I think if, you know, there is some illicit activity, but it's like, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah. So it's like a fiat currency
concept.
It's only instead of being guaranteed by a government, it's guaranteed by there being sufficient demand for it. And like I said, I think most of that demand is being created by black markets.
Yeah, but Secret History of Money on YouTube, Mike Maloney.
I'm familiar with the arguments. I've been listening to them and reading them all the way back to the 70s when Howard Ruff used to subscribe to his newsletter, The Ruff Times, and he would go off on this. He's long gone now, but yeah, I get it. Nathan, I got to move along, but thank you for the call.
All right. Thank you.
Fascinating conversation. Mark in Los Angeles. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Yeah, hi, Tom. Would this work if the Democrats went to McCarthy and said, we will make you Speaker if you give us the Voting Rights Act? And to get a guarantee of some kind, and also, what is that rule that the Congress can make that the Supreme Court can't rule on this?
Right. Invoke Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution.
Yeah.
Boy, that would be fascinating. I mean, you know, the Voting Rights Act was held up by...
Yeah, it would take care of gerrymandering and Electoral College. And,
oh, yeah, H.R. 1, yeah. It was killed in the Senate by every single Republican plus Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. So this time around, one of those two would have to give in if it made it out of the House. But, I suspect that if Jeffries or whoever he designates in Democratic leadership is actually engaging in good faith negotiations with Kevin McCarthy over his becoming Speaker, that what they're going to be interested in is not going to be specific pieces of legislation. It's going to be more process than product oriented. It's going to be, things like we will not hold up, we will not suspend the government, we will not, that the Republicans will not fight lifting the debt ceiling or paying the national debt, those kinds of things. But we'll see. We'll see. I think your points are well taken, Mark. Mark, thanks a lot for the call. Bob in Farnham, Virginia. Hey, Bob, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Just a happy thought. You had a wonderful conversation with Dr. Wolf there, Professor Wolf. It was just fascinating. And he talked about how society went from something of value that they could hold as their world currency to an intangible, something of extreme value, but it was kind of intangible to most people. The perfect bit, if mankind or society is willing to accept the concept of a Bitcoin, all we have to do is convince everyone that love and compassion is the ultimate Bitcoin. Boom. We're done.
But the problem is it can't be traded or exchanged or whatever the word is.
I know. But just fanciful thinking.
Yeah, it's sweet. Bob, I appreciate that. We need more love and affection and concern and empathy and compassion in this world. And frankly,
I'm more serious.
Go ahead.
On a more serious level, world compassion and cooperation is our path forward.
There you go.
Time to sink.
Amen. Thank you, Bob.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's 46 minutes past the hour. Where are the Republicans going to go next? We'll be right back.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
There's a software solution to every business need, and Capterra.com can help you find yours. Whether you're a startup looking to keep better track of customers, a nonprofit hoping to have a record fundraising year, or a business that simply needs better payroll software, Capterra's got you covered. Capterra has over 400 categories of business software for you to choose from. Anything from email marketing to scheduling to accounting and beyond. Capterra makes it easy to find what you're looking for, with thousands of ratings and reviews from actual software users just like you. Best of all, using Capterra is absolutely free. Capterra connects you with the business software that will help you do what you do better. Visit Capterra.com today and join the millions of people who use Capterra. That's Capterra, Capterra.com. Capterra.com.
How can Chris be so relaxed when his big interview is today? Because he searched jobs on Glassdoor.com. Out of millions of listings, he filtered by distance and salary to find the job that was right for him. He researched the company on Glassdoor, too. He read employee reviews. He knows they have great medical, even free donut Fridays. So he has nothing to worry about and everything to look forward to. Glassdoor. Find the job that fits your life. Go to Glassdoor.com or download the app today.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders from KFC here with some real news. My delicious world-famous original recipe fried chicken is available at a KFC near you. It has been and will be until the end of time. No matter what's happening in the world, you can trust that my original recipe chicken is always made with 11 herbs and spices. Many unnamed sources agree. It's delicious. Get it in a KFC $10 chicken share and enjoy it with a friend. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing much more than just a rate. Let me ask you, does calling the company with the best client service in America, with 11 J.D. Power Awards to prove it, matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative, client-focused technology, matter? Does calling the company with 17,000-plus team members who are helping to rebuild the great cities of Detroit and Cleveland matter? Of course it matters. No wonder our clients have made Quicken Loans America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com for the best mortgage experience on earth. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. If you choose to believe Google, then all you need to do to surf the internet privately is turn on incognito mode in your browser. And we're supposed to trust big tech with solutions to our online privacy, right? Well, wrong. It doesn't matter what browser mode you use or how often you clear your browsing history. Your internet service provider, thanks to Donald Trump and Ajit Pai, can see every single website you've ever visited, and they can sell your data to anybody they want. That's why I use ExpressVPN to keep my online data secure and private. They make sure that my ISP and third-party trackers can't see my activity and location by rerouting my connection through secure encrypted servers. ExpressVPN is also the fastest and most trusted VPN on the market. That's why they're rated the number one VPN by Business Insider. So protect your online activity today with the VPN that I trust to keep me private. That's visit expressvpn.com/Tom, and you can get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/THOM, expressvpn.com/Tom, to learn more. 52 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Picking up your calls, Briscoe in Houston, Texas. Hey, Briscoe, what's on your mind today?
Okay, there's an article in the Houston paper this morning that the reason the defectors from McCarthy, the principal thing in their mind is the deficit. I wanted to know what your analysis is of what effect the deficit still has on the economy in this day and time. I know all about, you know, defaulting on the effect default would have, but I'm really just talking about like the difference between $1 trillion deficit and a $500 billion deficit,
right.
and budget. I mean, because if they're really serious about forcing the deficit to be cut by, say, half a trillion dollars, you know, that's going to be a serious thing. I mean, what effect would that have?
Yeah, the deficit is now substantial. I think our national debt is well over $20 trillion. The deficit is the annual difference between what we take in and what we spend, and the debt is the cumulative difference. I think the important thing to remember is that our debt, and by implication our deficit, is also where our savings are. The only president in the history of the United States who paid off the national debt was Andrew Jackson, and he did it back in 1836. And what that did was it produced the deepest depression, arguably, and the longest lasting one in American history. It lasted longer than the Great Depression. And it was a terrible, terrible economic crisis. And the reason why was because people couldn't buy treasuries. The government issues treasuries and you and I can buy them. And in fact, you can buy them directly from the federal government. And large investors can buy them. Other countries can buy them. And it's a safe place to put your money. In fact, it's literally the safest place in the world to put your money because it's protected by the full faith and credit of the United States. So back in the day, back in the 70s and early 80s, there was all this hysteria. We had a national debt when Ronald Reagan came into office in 1981 of $800 billion. And there was this concern that if our debt ever hit $1 trillion, that nobody would have faith in the government anymore. They'd say, yeah, America's too in debt for anything, and therefore everybody would flee and they'd sell their treasuries and it would crash the economy. It'd be the end of the world. And Reagan took our debt by, you know, because he cut taxes on rich people from 74% down to 28%. He took our national debt from $800 billion when he came into office to $2.4 trillion when he left. And he tripled the national debt. And then, you know, of course, George W. Bush added another $4 or $5 trillion to the debt with his wars and with his tax cut. And then Donald Trump added another $7 trillion to the debt with his tax cuts and the pandemic. And it appears that it hasn't really had any effect. And the question is, how far can the debt go before it really starts hurting the government? Japan's national debt has been more than 200% of GDP, which would be $45 trillion if it was the U.S. for at least three decades, as long as I can remember. And it doesn't seem to have hurt Japan at all. Mostly what you find, and this is probably why it's in the Houston newspaper, Briscoe, what you find is that these right-wing libertarian billionaires who don't want to pay any more taxes and don't want their tax dollars, federal money, being used to support the wealth of the commonwealth, you know, they don't want, you know, food stamps, they don't want Medicare, they don't want Social Security, they don't want any kind of programs that help anybody. They're the ones who yell and scream about the debt, saying it's going to be a disaster, oh my God, oh my God, by way of trying to force cuts in domestic spending. They never use this argument, by the way, to cut the Pentagon budget, which is totally weird. But then they think that the Pentagon is the only legitimate function of government. So I'm frankly not concerned about it, Briscoe.
Okay, so is it not kind of disturbing if this is what's motivating the anti-McCarthy faction and they're getting some concessions that are going to result in, you know, severe cuts? Is this not kind of disturbing? I mean,
well, it means that what they're going to do is they're going to use the debt as the excuse to cut spending on social programs, which they've been doing since the Reagan administration. And, you know, every single time the Republicans have any power, or Democrats have power, and Republicans can yell and scream and obstruct, that's what they do. And so that's where they're going to go with it. And yes, that is troubling. Briscoe, thanks for the call. It was great. We'll be right back. We're hitting the top of the hour. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Hey, Pack Rat. Yeah, you. Are you moving cross-country and you just don't know who to call? Call us right now. Listen, you've probably seen one of our containers in your neighborhood. But did you know that we can help you move anywhere in the United States? It's real simple. We'll drop a container off at the location you tell us to bring it to. You pack up your valuable possessions at your leisure. They stay safe right in your home. And when you're ready, call us. We'll come and pick up the container and give you a scheduled date of when your furniture and the other possessions
questions will be at your new home. So if you're moving across country or across town, be a pack rat. Join the pack rat family. Call pack rat right now for your free quote. See y'all later, pack rats.
800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. That's 800-334-54.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.